Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai moves to crush a rebellion in his party by expelling Secretary General Tendai Biti and 8 legislators calling for leadership renewal in his party.
Tendai Biti, Solomon Madzori and others, having formed their own party, have in terms of 510A of the party's constitution ceased to be members of the MDC Tea Party.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC, proposes a new electoral process that will allow Zimbabweans living outside the country to vote in future elections.
The fact that the Election Commission saw it fit to invite various stakeholders to engage on the voter registration model that they are attempting to come up with is a very positive indication on the part of the Election Commission.
And the Media Institute of Southern Africa condemns the prosecution of 2 Newsday journalists over an article criticizing Police Commissioner Augustine Chihuri.
Founding MDC President Morgan Tsvangirai today moved to crush a rebellion in his party by expelling Secretary General Tendai Biti and 8 others who were calling for leadership renewal in the main opposition. Biti himself suspended Tsvangirai and 6 other top party leaders from the party for deviating from what he said were the party's democratic founding principles. More on that from Thomas Chiripasi, who is in Harare.
Following a similar National Council meeting of the opposition party held Saturday by a faction led by Biti that resolved to suspend Tsvangirai, his deputy Thokozani Kupe, and 4 other senior officials, Tsvangirai convened his own National Council meeting that expelled the party's secretary general and 8 legislators who attended the weekend meeting at the Mandela Training Center. National Chairperson Love Momoyo, who was also suspended by Biti's faction, announced the council's resolution to expel Biti following a vote on the issue.
Out of 167 delegates here present, 162 voting for yes, that he should be indeed expelled from the party. Order. Were the 5 who decided not to vote? Were the 5 who decided not to vote? Accordingly, the resolution by the National Council is hereby adopted to expel the former Secretary General, Honorable Tendai Biti.
Tsvangirai told journalists that by holding the Saturday meeting that he described as bogus, illegitimate and illegal, Biti had literally formed his own party and expelled himself from the MDCT. All that was left, said the former premier, was to wish the former finance minister well in his political endeavors.
And Biti, Solomon Madzori and others, having formed their own party, have in terms of 510A of the party's constitution ceased to be members of the MDCT party. In addition and alternatively, the said persons have summarily dismissed in terms of Article 12 as read together with Article 511A.
Apart from Biti, Tsvangirai also announced that 8 other legislators have also been expelled from the party for participating in the Saturday meeting that resulted in his suspension. He said his party will be writing to the Speaker of Parliament withdrawing the affected legislators to pave way for fresh polls.
Consequently, in line with Section 129IK of the National Constitution, the MDCT MPs who participated at the Mandela meeting are hereby withdrawn, will be withdrawn from Parliament and recalled. For the avoidance of doubt, the 9 members being withdrawn or recalled are the following. A. Tendai Biti, Harare East. Solomon Madzore, Zarasekwa. Paul Madzimure, Glenview, South. Moses Manyengavana, Highfield West. Willas Madzimure, Kambuzuma. Samuel Spepangomo, Lobengula. Bekten Banyati, Pelendaba Mpopoma. Evelyn Masait, who is in Parliament on proportional representation. Senator Wachi Sivanda, Mat South. Honorable Settlement Chikwinya Mbizo, and Honorable Regimoyo Luveva.
Tsvangirai said he felt that Biti had betrayed the majority of Zimbabweans by his weekend move, adding the current political storm in his party had been brewing for a long time. He repeated his assertions that President Robert Mugabe had a hand in his fallout with Biti's faction. He also made adjustments to his top leadership following Biti and Solomon Madzore's suspension. Madzore was the National Youth Chairperson.
An early Congress in October to re-energize the organization. In order to transform and revitalize the party, the Council mandated the Standing Committee to kickstart the process of organizational and institutional reform, leading to an early Congress in October 2014 instead of 2016. In the meantime, the Congress and internal democratic processes will commence.
Meanwhile, Tsvangirai announced that his party will hold its Congress in October this year.
Following the latest development, the National Council made the following changes to the composition of the National Standing Committee pending Congress. Honorable Tapiwa Mashakada will be acting Secretary General, Teresa Makon will be acting Deputy Treasurer General, and Costa Machingauta will be acting National Youth Person, National Youth Chairperson.
Reached by phone for comment, spokesperson of those calling for leadership change in the MDCT, Jacob Mafume, said the National Council meeting held at Harvest House was, quote, a caucus of suspended politicians, adding his group will not recognize any of the resolutions passed in that meeting. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Commenting on the unveiling drama in the MDCT, political analyst and Zimbabwe Alliance project coordinator Briggs Bomba said the crisis in the MDC will herald a new era in Zimbabwe's politics.
Well, my sense is that the opposition politics, as we have known it in this country since 1999, has practically ended. I think we can say that particular character of opposition politics ended with the 2013 elections. And in my view, what you are seeing now, the inevitable reconfiguration that has to happen as a new wave builds develops in this country. Because the bottom line is that the struggle for democracy continues. The aims and objectives of the struggle for democracy have not been achieved in this country. So that struggle continues. But it is now continuing in a way that will fully take its form once you see all this reconfiguration and repositioning that is happening fully settling.
Are these winds of change good or bad?
It is not all negative, in my view, what you are seeing, because I think you are going to see, if you look at the way even civil society is engaging at the present moment, we are looking at people thinking a lot in terms of their approaches, in terms of their strategies, and beginning to even explore the possibilities and the potential that is there in terms of engaging from a principled position.
What form is it likely to take now?
I think you are actually going to have a number of actors occupying this space. And in fact, you do have space for more than one political opposition actor in this country.
That was political analyst and Zimbabwe Alliance Project Coordinator Briggs Bomba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora was briefly detained at the Harare Central Police Station today for allegedly assaulting a BT supporter at the party's Harvest House headquarters in Harare on Saturday. The conflicts pitting the two factions in the MDCT has now spilled to Manicaland, Mashonaland West and Mashingo. In Mutare, police had to intervene as members tussled for party property. In Mashonaland West, some members aligned to Mr. Changirai have confiscated property that includes a vehicle, motorbikes and computers from the party's administrator who is believed to back the BT faction. Meanwhile, Monzora's lawyer, Dumisani Kufa Ruenga, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that they spent the better part of the day at the police station today over the assault allegation.
I can confirm that Douglas Monzora was summoned to CID Law and Order Section at Harare Central on allegations that he assaulted one Leonard Dendera. We submitted a warned and cautioned statement to the police. And after we submitted the warned and cautioned statement to the police, Mr. Monzora was released into my custody. So we anticipate that Mr. Monzora will be recalled depending on the outcome of the investigation.
And what was Mr. Monzora's line of defense?
Mr. Monzora was not at the scene of the offence on the 26th of April 2014. As a fact, Mr. Monzora was in Mashingo, Gutu Mashingo, attending a rally on that date, and he put up in Mashingo. He was not at the scene at all.
So did the police indicate when they will complete their investigations?
No indication at all from the police as to when they will recall Mr. Monzora or when they will complete their investigation.
That was Attorney Dumisani Kufaruenga, representing Douglas Monzora of the MDCT, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC, is proposing a new electoral process that will allow Zimbabweans living outside the country to register to vote in future elections. This was revealed at a two-day voter registration stakeholders conference that ended in Harare today and was attended by political party representatives, churches, civil society organizations, local authorities and others from neighboring countries. ZEC unveiled a voters' role model which also proposes that prisoners and hospital patients will be allowed to cast their ballots while voting will be polling station-based.
According to the proposed new system, a voter will only cast a ballot at a polling station at which his or her name appears on the voter's roll. Parliament, in the meantime, is expected to discuss a bill seeking electoral reforms, including barring the diaspora community from voting. Studio 7 reporter Juwanga Kandemiri spoke with Election Resource Center Director Tawanda Chimini, who attended the two-day conference.
The conference looked at the design of the model in terms of what are the technicalities behind the model. We looked at elements relating to the design and we were asked to critique the design of the model. Then secondly, the conference sought to also, unpack the implementation of the model, such as how are people going to be registered, how will the data be transmitted from one point to the other, what kind of complementary processes need to happen at the implementation level to allow for public access to the process.
Did ZEC give any time frame for the implementation of all that was raised at the conference?
I know for the design stage of the model, they're looking at a time frame of about 6 months, which looks at engagement of the experts, setting up a voter registration department within the election commission, securing the necessary IT equipment and software. Then the process of actual registration of voters is something that is more long-term.
We also heard that the issue of diaspora voter registration came up at the conference.
One other positive element that is associated to that element, the issue of the diaspora vote, was the acknowledgement by ZEC that this model for voter registration was being designed at a time when the legislative framework for elections is being finalized. So the model did not explicitly talk about the diaspora vote.
That was Election Resource Center Director Tawanda Chimini in Harare.
Jonga Kandemiri also reached out to ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo for his take on the ZEC proposal as his party is trying to block the diaspora vote through legislation.
All I can say is from the little that I read in the paper, in the newspapers, in the comments that have been made, it appears to be a reasonable voter model. I'm not particularly worried as to who should or should not vote. I think the important thing is that every Zimbabwean has the democratic right to express his views. Whether it is the people in the diaspora who should be accommodated or people in the voting station who should be accommodated, for me, personally, it's not a major issue. The important thing, let's have a model which ensures that the people of Zimbabwe, every citizen of Zimbabwe, everyone of voting age can exercise his or her democratic rights.
The proposed changes come at a time when there is a bill in Parliament that is seeking to change part of the electoral reforms or the electoral laws in the country. Do you think that the model is coming at a good time?
Well, I think it is coming at the right time because then all aspects of the model could be looked into. The various amendments in Parliament as well can be used. So perhaps it's just as well that is coming at this moment so that there is no discrepancy between what is being recommended in the model and what the Parliament is trying to do.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo on the line with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Now, Chris, we go to look at regional and international news.
Yes, and people in Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi are waking up to the aftermath of 2 days of tornadoes that have flattened homes and businesses and killed at least 21 people. Tens of thousands of people were without power across the central and southern United States yesterday.
Russia has accused the European Union of a complete lack of understanding of Ukraine's domestic politics as the bloc released the names of 15 new targets of sanctions due to their roles in the Ukraine crisis. Russia's foreign ministry says the EU sanctions were a direct invitation for local neo-Nazis to continue their lawless acts in the southeast. In addition to the EU sanctions announced today, the United States targeted 7 Russian officials and 17 companies yesterday for travel bans and asset freezes.
And North Korea has begun live fire artillery exercises near its disputed Western Sea boundary with South Korea. Seoul's Defense Ministry spokesman Kim Min-sook said yesterday it was informed by Pyongyang of the planned drills. South Korean military officials say the North fired 50 rounds of artillery and that none landed in South Korean territory. The North held similar drills last month. Some of the artillery landed in the South's waters, prompting Seoul to fire back across the boundary.
The Media Institute of Southern Africa, or MISA Zimbabwe, today condemned the prosecution of 2 Newsday journalists over an article the Daily published criticizing Police Commissioner General Augustine Chihuri for bad police conduct that resulted in the death of a 3-year-old Harare boy last week. Editor Nevanji Madanire and reporter Moses Matenga were questioned by law and order detectives and charged with attempting to incite public disorder under the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act. Mr. Zimbabwe official Nhlanhla Ngwenya tells Studio 7 the prosecution of the two journalists is a clear case of harassment by the police.
As an organization that is fighting for the right of journalists to work without any undue hindrance in Zimbabwe, we strongly condemn that incident. We are doing so in light of another incident that occurred last week where law enforcement agents, together with the Post and Telecommunications regulator, or I should say those that work for POTRAS, raided the Radio Dialogue offices, as well as the acting director's place of residence in search of what they termed broadcasting equipment and so on. And the acting director had to spend almost 2 days shuttling between his place of residence, his office, and the police and other central intelligence offices. And we believe that incident, together with Nehanje and Moses Matenga's incident, clearly underlined the hazards that are still obtaining in Zimbabwe with regard to media freedom in this country.
Mr. Zimbabwe official Nhlanhla Ngwenya in Harare. The MDC formation of Washman Ngube has also condemned the prosecution, calling it appalling. Party spokesman Nhlanhla Dube said in a statement, and I quote, "It is saddening to note that instead of carrying out its constitutional mandate of maintaining the law and order, the police force instead invests in energies on arresting journalists for doing their work."
Meanwhile, Deputy Information Minister Supamandi Wanzira today said that the Restrictive Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, IPA, is among the more than 400 laws that are being reviewed for alignment with the new constitution. Speaking in Harare today during a MISA Zimbabwe breakfast meeting on the state of access to information in the country, Mandi Wanzira reiterated the government's commitment to realigning the country's laws with the new constitutional provisions on freedom of expression, media freedom and access to information, according to a MISA Zimbabwe statement. The breakfast meeting was convened by MISA Zimbabwe as part of its countdown activities to this year's World Press Freedom Day, which is commemorated annually on May 3 throughout the world.
Almost a year after the signing into law of the new constitution, Zimbabwe is still to enact a new freedom of information law as stated and demanded for by the country's supreme law. Mandi Wanzira, however, did not give a time frame, saying this would be a process considering the cost implications and other competing priorities. Meanwhile, Mr. Zimbabwe took opportunity of the event to unveil its 2014 World Press Freedom Day theme, which is Right to Know, Key to Life, as part of its efforts to push for the repeal of IPA and enactment of a new democratic information law as demanded for under the new constitution.
Haifa rode into life in Harare today with a number of non-profit organizations involved in HIV/AIDS programs, among others that were showcasing their activities. Some of the organizations were sponsored by the United States Embassy in Zimbabwe under the United States President's Emergency Plan for AIDS, PEPFAR. Amongst the companies exhibiting at Haifa's street location, which is open to the public for free, is Take a Life International, which promotes children's rights. Ignatius Diwa visited the Take a Life International stand with his 11-year-old daughter. He says he was impressed by the exhibitions.
I attended Haifa, the CBD arena, which is found in First Street.
Tell us what interested you. You were saying that there were a few companies that were exhibiting in First Street. What excited you as a parent that was visiting?
What excited me mostly by the stand that I visited was the information about generally HIV/AIDS and particularly the rights of the girl child.
Were you accompanied by your children on this tour that you had at the Haifa First Street Arena?
I went with my daughter because I wanted her to have a feel of a different platform where she can get educated on issues concerning girl children. She is 11.
Take us through the experience that you received as a parent.
Oh, great. Apparently, there was quite some good welcome. And when I got there, I had a chance to meet with the director, who then handed me over to the other girls who were running the show.
As a parent, how important would you say it is for parents to take their children to such events?
I would view this as something that is quite important and quite relevant. Sometimes as parents, we don't have good platforms to educate our children on these social issues. But when there is a platform like this where we can have some sort of no holds barred, kids are given precise information that they can use to safeguard themselves from abuse. But from these explanations, then the child can actually now see that this is abuse and this is not. But at home, when they're not exposed to it, they will say maybe this is the norm that is found in the family. But when they get such platforms, they get so much educated. So I would urge parents to take out their children out there so that they get information.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is 11 years old.
And you said that she had a lot of questions. What were some of the questions that she asked following your visit to the Haifa stand?
Okay, by getting there, and when I give you a bit of an explanation that this organization is about awareness and protection of girl child rights, she had questions like, why would girls need to be protected? And I would hand it over to those guys to try to explain the importance of protection of the girl child. Other questions was, after she got information, she was also saying, how can I, as an 11-year-old, also get involved in such awareness campaign?
That was Ignatius Diwa speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare. Haifa will be officially opened tonight by music icon Oliver Mtukudzi, who is going to be sharing the stage with Andy Brown's daughter Amara and Man of the Moment Ja Prezia and other artists. The show runs until May 4th.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-00-10334. Once again, 033-00-10334.
Yes, Chris, just as a reminder to our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about developments in the MDCT following today's move by Mr. Changirai to expel Mr. Biti and others from the party. People want to know, Chris, who is expelling who has fired who? It's becoming really a drama that everyone is talking about. So please stay tuned and join Gibbs and Blessing.
Yes, Cindy. And for those who want to join the discussion, they can text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call them back from our studios.
Joso mundele mega golua
Namaka etike golondele papa sebele misae Nazawa kaka sepona kolela rochelino Lobela wilinda berichar masaki palka muleta Makumunele pumote malili kanoloe Mabanzo ya mneze tangoe Nicoleta pembele fredie yoka
Eva Malako de Paris, Bado Martins
Chris, the music of Kofi Olomide, they're taking us to the end of the bulletin. Before, you know, we go to the Ndebele bulletin, let's just recap, you know, today's top stories.
MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai moves to crush a rebellion in his party by expelling Secretary General Tendai Biti and 8 legislators calling for leadership renewal in his party.
And the Media Institute of Southern Africa condemns the prosecution of 2 Newsday journalists over an article criticizing police